talking, we're all about bad choices in this book here. It's great. When we make this film, we have another contract to make The Lonely Rage. So I have two books, Seeds of Time and The Lonely Rage. And we're going to put most of these stories in this film, of this development history of Black Panther Party. But anyway, we are back down Badge 206. Nobody got arrested that night. And it was not until I led the delegation, the armed delegation of the California State Legislature. We patrolled police for 6.5, almost 7 months, really. And the California State Legislature, that's how legal we were. We never got arrested for any illegal guns. They would trump up other crap on us. When the first group of us really would start going to jail, it was the California State Legislature. So I did a no contest plea with 5 others who disturbed, supposedly we disturbed this piece of the California State Legislature. When I led that delegation at that particular event day, the Black Panther Party, our new little ragtag organization, international notoriety. The guns were legal, even when they arrested us, and after we bailed everybody out 2 days later, we said we wanted our guns back to see you couldn't have them. We went and got a court order to show that the guns had nothing to do with the charges, because it was no illegal, but, and got our guns back. I'm saying, didn't the Black Panther Party almost fell apart? Because they put me in jail for 6 months. Huey them lost the office, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Elvis Cleveland, Kathleen Cleveland, had already just got into the party and got to rolling with us. Decided they wanted to try to go to Cuba, but they couldn't get out of the country. Elvis was really on parole. And while I was in jail, they attempted to kill Officer Fryer, attempted to kill Huey Newton. And in the back, Officer Fryer got killed and Officer Haynes was wounded 8 times in that same red light district area where Huey and I took that first patrol, patrolling the police there. And I come out of jail, Eldridge was back, Huey was in jail. We organized a free Huey birthday rally, February the 17th in the Open Auditorium. We packed the Open Auditorium. Now I have a videotape out front called Public Enemy. Me and my company and some other Black Panthers, Kathleen Cleaver, the wife of Elvis Cleaver, Jamal Joseph, the musician, was a member of the Black Panther Party. Jamal Joseph wrote the song, We Are Family. He wrote the whole musical score to Eddie Murphy's movie, Coming to America. He was a member of the Black Panther Party. He's featured in this documentary we have. Not Jamal Joseph, now Rogers. Jamal Joseph is a screenplay writer now. He did 10 years in prison as a Black Panther Party. My point, though, is that that documentary will reflect to you that auditorium and how we packed that auditorium back in the 1960s. That same open auditorium I went to see Martin Luther King speak on. The Black Panther Party merged with SNCC, or SNCC merged with the Black Panther Party, the leadership of Brett Brown, Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael Band, etc. And, of course, with the 1960s protest movement high in gear in 1968, the murder of Martin Luther King. Prior to that, I only had 400 members in the Black Panther Party, up and down most of the West Coast, from Seattle to San Diego, Los Angeles, Fresno, and three or four offices around the San Francisco Bay Area. With the murder of Martin Luther King, and that semester, May. At the end of that semester, college students fled my organization. I mean, they joined. They were pissed off because Martin Luther King was killed. And we're going to join the Black Panther Party. But because we were progressive, you know, we had a lot of white left radical friends. Because we had the ability to distinguish between our friends and our enemies. We know the difference between a racist Ku Klux Klan and young white left radical who's getting his butt beat out there because he's protesting some racist discrimination. We knew the difference. And then we created, even in those early days, coalitions with the young Chicano brothers, Mexican American brothers, the Brown Berets, then later on with the young Puerto Rican brothers, the Young Lords Party. And then we did coalition work with SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, under Dr. Reverend Ralph Abernathy, with the Poor People's March and others. But we were coalesced with over 38 different organizations, including all the anti-war organizations, all the other progressive groups, including other peoples of color organizations. See, people talk about black power in one general sense, the black power movement. There are certain nuances or differences in the way we dealt with that. See, you can have revenge black nationalism. Kill all the white folk, Brother Khalid Muhammad had said back here some years ago before he died. And I understand why he said he's been disenfranchised, brutalized, etc. But that cannot be the goal objective of what the real human liberation struggle is about. You know, and then you have the very basic xenophobic type black nationalism. And of course you have the cultural, putting heavy emphasis on the culture, which we probably erroneously criticized in the 1960s, but wouldn't get shot at. We were in a bad, you know what I mean? So we had reason. But my point becomes, my brand, our brand, our ideological brand of our black community empowerment needs was about the need to humanize the world. Do you believe in black unity? Yes, I believe in black unity, but primarily and only as a catalyst to help humanize the world. I mean, there has been some white unity organizations like the Ku Klux Klan. Well, I can't believe in them because they're not about humanizing the world. Hitleristic extinction of ethnic groups such as a religious group of Jewish people and others, you know, was not about humanizing the world. So there's a big difference when people run around propagating black unity, black power, empowerment, and black liberation. What we did is we took, yes, our black community liberation struggle, but it's interconnected, interrelated, and interdependent with all other people's ethnic groups' liberation struggles too. Those who are about that human liberation. Integrated reconnection. In effect, what we came out with was all power to all the people. All power to all the people. And pinpointed and saw the true enemy, which was government and all its racist policies, its racist legislation, etc. Avaricious corporate money rich running a government that perpetuated exploitation and imperialism not only around the world, but the very degradation and exploitation of our African-American community, Native American people's community, Latino, etc., and other poor people. This is where we came from as Black Panther Party, our class analysis connected with our historical analysis of our struggle for constitutional, democratic, civil, human rights. The Black Panther Party after Martin Luther King evolved in a matter of 8 months, rose from 400 members in about 10 chapters and branches up and down the West Coast, the 48 chapters and branches, cities, throughout the United States of America, 5,000 membership by December 1968. That was too rapid. That was almost too fast for us, but it happened. We moved. I mean, I went to every chapter and branch. I did the PE classes. We created the Free Breakfast for Children program right in May of 1968, a month after Martin Luther King was killed, with St. Augustine's Church, Reverend Earl Neal. I've never forgotten this brother. He understood that religion needed to take a back seat and let these young brothers with their scientific analysis get out here, sisters and brothers, and organize the people, organize that political electoral community power with these programs. I mean, voter registration was important. I mean, Free Breakfast for Children program was one thing, but people say, oh, they're just do-gooders. No, it was a tactic. The Free Breakfast for Children program, the Sick Cell Anemia Testing program, the free preventive medical health care clinics that we put together all across this country. Real programs that really served the people. But with the addresses to these people, and many people have been served, this is recruiting ground. Now when you get more voter registrars, you didn't necessarily have to join the Black Panther Party, just be a voter registrar with the Black Panther Party's program. Or work on the breakfast program, or work at the clinic, et cetera, et cetera. Do something. And on many rallies, you know, people criticize me today because I wrote a cookbook, barbecue. I organized more black folks, grassroots, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people rallying with barbecue than without it. They don't understand that revolutionaries eat like anybody else. So people misunderstand the interconnected relationship between one activity and another. So we used to get all that meat and all that food donated, chicken, beef, and pork, and we didn't have no problem with pork, you know. But my point is, and sell those plates and take all that money and all them programs and put that money in there. The Breakfast for Children program grew to a point in a year's time that we was feeding across this country 250,000 kids every day, 5 days a week, free breakfast. Every morning. We took Sunday attention program with our free preventative medical health care clinics all across this country. And working with a lot of doctors and a lot of other progressive groups, et cetera, we in effect, in a 5-year period, we tested 1 million plus black folks in the United States of America for sickle cell anemia, first ever in the history of grassroots community organizing amongst African Americans in this country. This is very, very important to understand what we were doing and how and why we were doing it. Because it was about trying to end institutionalized racism or make a contribution to ending institutionalized racism. In our reading, in our studies, we focused at one point on that history of Rosa Parks refusing to move to the back of the bus, particularly when Huey talked a lot about the law. Huey says, so there was a state law in that state that said a black person had to get up and give a white person their seat if they're at the back of the bus or they had to sit at the back of the bus. This law did not make human sense. And that's what America's about. That's where you discover the crux of the history of institutionalized racism in America manifests in the racist, inhumane law. So we work out working for political office, and part of trying to evolve some ideas of empowerment in the communities was to become part of the city councils. The city council ain't nothing but a legislative body. Or the state legislature, or the county seats and supervisorial seats in counties, to become part of this, to try to make laws that make human sense and negate other racist laws. There's only one small contribution, but this is key to the crux of understanding where we come from and why we created the Black Panther Party, why we said in point number one, we want power to determine our own destiny, our own black community. That destiny had to be about some future, present to future world of cooperation with humanism, present and future world of greater community empowerment, present and future black community unity as a catalyst to help humanize our world. So today we live in what? An overdeveloped, high-tech, fast-paced, computerized, scientific, technological, social, and that's what we live today. I don't live in the past, but I know the past. It's very important that we take time to look at the past. That we extract all the positive, progressive aspects of whatever we can out of the history, out of African-American people's history of struggle, out of the history of Native American people's struggle, out of the history of Hispanic and other people's struggle around the world. But as an African-American, I look and talk about the need for humanizing the world. That's where it comes from. What it means is when you decide to take this position, and what it means in the history of where we came from, is that we have to take that position that we will defend ourselves, because what we're defending is our right, our constitutional, democratic, civil human right to raise the consciousness of our people, to unify our people for the purposes of humanizing the world. And if you shoot at me, you're trying to stop that, so therefore I have to defend my body, I have to defend my group, I have to defend my community. And so if you shoot at me, you're shooting back to defend ourselves, therefore defending our constitutional, democratic, civil human right. Whether the racist page officer like it or not, as we used to say in the 1960s. 2,000 years ago, most people on the face of the earth believed the earth was flat. Therefore, their ideas about the shape of the earth did not correspond correctly to reality. Now we know the earth is round and oval shaped, but that's limited. Today we deal in computer models of quantum mechanics. You know, I mean, we have to see and understand motion. I mean, our little Earth takes a 600 million mile trip around the sun every 365 days. That's one form of motion. While it's taking that 600 million mile trip around the sun every 365 days, it's spinning on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. That's two forms of motion. Our solar system is moving in the galaxy 20 miles a second. That's three forms of motion. Going on all simultaneously. When we get down to this medium, this framework, this earth, this 19-mile thick atmosphere around the earth that we live in, us human beings, our designated locations on the earth of our nations, our communities, etc., etc., you know, and the mineral resources, etc., and then we also see and discover and realize in a more profound way, avaricious and continuing races exploiting the world, including Cheney, Bush, the Republican administrator, trying to inject their avaricious corporate monopoly system with their war, etc. We have to see all of humanity, you know, we have to see and realize it, that we're at the threshold. Just people in this country don't even realize that if we could just change and shift a few policies, when I say a few policies, it would be a lot of policies, I mean, it's insurmountable, but, you know, we have the ability in the next few decades, with the communications technology and the scientific advances that we have, to really begin to help do a lot of conscious raising in the world, begin to evolve some new economic practices that kind of make human sense. Now, out of the Black Panther Party, I came up with community control of economic frameworks. You know, I mean, some of my old contemporary socialist buddies, I loved them, et cetera, and cared about them. But, you know, they used to sit up in the room, the workers must control the means of production, the dictatorship of the proletariat. Over and over, I said, why is it? This is all I hear from you guys. Why about you guys? My old socialist workers buddies and some of my old PLs and some of them young socialists in Alaska, I mean, I love them and care about them, but some of them didn't put no programs up. All they did was argue this shit, you know what I mean? And I got tired of it. And I walked into one of the meetings. Richard Aoki, my Japanese buddy, was a member of the Social Workers Party, got me to come to certain meetings right after Martin Luther King was killed. And this went on once a month, you know, for 4 or 5 months. And I finally came up with, I said, well, the Black Panther Party, we have an open ideology. We have an ideology that we say is in motion. And presently, we're going to move to emphasize greater community control of economic frameworks to reach out to do services and goods, and community control of political institutions that affect our lives through the political electoral process. And if we get in balance, in effect, what we're doing is fighting for the good of the community through these programs and through this ideological direction. And that's where we depart from a lot of people, because I jumped up and they said, community control is not good enough. They were talking state control, command, economy, socialism. They were quoting Marx and Lenin, etc. And at that time, the Soviet Union was high on its hog, etc. Arguing with the United States of America, a lot of countries were dependent on the Soviet Union, etc. And I rejected suddenly the Soviet Union. Boom. I rejected what we call state control, Politburo state control, command, economy, socialism, and went for community control, empowerment from the grassroots up. That's our argument. We created the United Front Against Fascism framework in this country. We united a lot of young white left rappers, Chicano and others, and blacks who worked with that framework as an extension of the Black Panther Party, 10,000 strong, beyond the 5,000 we had in the Black Panther Party. So this dynamic growth of the Black Panther Party is a protest movement effort. Shootouts and battles, particularly in the year of 1969, J. Hoover, the counterintelligence program, move and attack every Black Panther Party office in the year of 1969. Beginning the killing, the complicity and killing of Bunsen Carter and John Huggins at the University of California, Los Angeles, January 1969, and ending in that year, December the 4th, 1969, with the murder and the killing of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, and a pre-dawn fascist raid on the part of Chicago police, designed by, encouraged by, and set up by none other than the FBI's counterintelligence program, getting these police departments, state's attorneys, to come and attack our offices to try to get rid of us. Now think, it was the coalition politics that they were also scared of. It was the grassroots community program, like the Breakfast program. I mean, it's documented. J. Edgar Hoover in April, I think it was, in that year, of national television, J. Edgar Hoover had the FBI. The Black Panthers Breakfast for Children program is a threat to the internal security of America. He's already been on television the same way it's a threat. Now the program itself is a threat to the internal security of America. And the real reason he's saying that is because Willie Brown, just recently be the mayor of San Francisco, but back then, California State Assembly, and some others, at our behesting, moved in the California State Legislature and got a bill through, $5 million, for free breakfast and free lunch for all children in all schools in the state of California. Ronald Reagan, then the governor of the state of California, vetoed $4.5 million. The state senate and state assembly overrode his butt, put the whole damn $5 million in, and gave the rule was on television. The Black Panther Breakfast and Children Program. 28 state legislatures in a year and a half followed suit and did something similar to what California did concerning the free breakfast program in this country. And so my socialist buddy said, see, that was a reform program. Now, what we're saying is that's what they should have did in the first damn place. You see what I mean? So that was our argument in one context. But my point is, how do we evolve some new economic practices? I mean, young students and young people got to get creative with this. We live in a world of 6 billion living human beings. Half the mineral resources in Africa are still in the bowels of the earth. How do we evolve greater community empowerment and control of these resources, and how do we evolve the marketing of these goods around the world, etc., to help raise the standard of living? And how do we go to South America or other places in the equatorial rainforest and come up and help young mayors and others in places come up with new economic practices or economic frameworks other than chopping down the equatorial rainforest where 50% of all our oxygen comes from around the earth? I mean, these are important questions. So when you talk about civil rights, human liberation, you cannot separate out issues of the ecology and the environment. They're interconnected, interrelated, and interdependent. And if you don't see it, you miss the whole point about human liberation on the face of the earth. African American people, human liberation is not separate. It's all people's human liberation on this earth, and our little 19-mile thick atmosphere that we live in on this earth spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Now, people trying to make movies and films, and they made the film Panther thumbs down from us, the former Black Panther Party member. He said, because 90% of the film is fiction, it has nothing to do with the real, true action adventure involvement, history of black people in the Black Panther Party. I mean, I argued with this guy that, you know, once I heard he was making the movie, you know, and then I sued him. You know, I lost the suit in court because of free speech and that kind of stuff. And he fought to trade me, et cetera, and so on. But my point is, that film, you know, it just doesn't tell you. It doesn't give you anything about coalition politics, which is a great and necessary kind of characteristic of the Black Panther Party. It doesn't give any real emphasis on the free breakfast children program, and the sickle cell anemia testing programs, and the voter registration drive, the political electoral campaign. Doesn't give you that. Organizing feats. We did feats of organizing. How do you give away 10,000 full bags of groceries with a fat, healthy 3.5-pound chicken in every bag? Not the small 800 cubic inch bag, but the large 1,400 cubic inch bag. Find particular methodical organizing, basing things on good, proven scientific evidence with fact. I call my coordinators together and says, we're getting ready to give away 10,000 bags of groceries. We're going to register people to get these bags of groceries. You think we can do that, Chairman? I said, sure, we can do that. You know, I got my coordinators together, had my press conference, and told the people, boom, in 2 months in the open auditorium, hey, that's something to organize. Because you can't just put these chickens in the bag and let them sit there 5 hours like the chicken spoiled. You can't do that. You know? I got my coordinators, says, now, how many cubic inches in the bag? 1,400 cubic inches, Chairman. Can we use a smaller bag? 800 cubic inches? No, we need the 1,400 cubic inch bag, a large bag. So how many cubic inches in a 16-ounce tin of English peas or black-eyed peas, etc.? We're going to use 8 16-ounce tins, 2 cans of keys, 2 cans of carrots, 2 cans of whatever, and canned goods. I said, how many cubic inches in a dozen eggs? How many cubic inches in a loaf of bread? How many cubic inches, etc., etc., etc.? We've got to fill up this bag. I said, do not count the chicken as part of the cubic inches of filling up the bag. So the party members come back and we go, Chairman, man, you're talking about 5 pounds of potatoes in every bag, or even 4 pounds of potatoes in every bag, 10,000 bags, that's 40,000 pounds, 50,000 pounds. I've been to every produce outlet throughout the San Francisco Open Bear, and ain't nobody got no 50,000 pounds. The chairman, we're going to have to call this off. The guy said, no, we ain't calling it off. What? I said, we got the money. I said, have you ever heard of a state called Idaho? What you talking about, Chairman? I said, get your butt up there to Idaho and get me some goddamn potatoes. Go see some wind good about cheese. rental car. I said, make sure you carry your shotguns and your pistols, because there's a lot of racists up there. Go up there and get my goddamn tank. I didn't have enough people to do all the bagging of the brushes. I left the University of California. I said, nah, all my white left radical friends and buddies and others who've been respecting the Black Panther Party, here today, we're going to do some work to help end racism, because we're going to have some political electoral community organizing. I said, what happens here is I need you down to bag brushes, be voter registrars, and also learn to be trained to take 6 or 7 year tests at the dump. So I got me 500 extra white left radicals, 500 other black folks and black community brothers and gangs, etc., and the 284 Black Panther Party members. She's giving me a note to end this lecture. It's my wife, Leslie. My wife, Leslie, in the Black Panther Party for 6 years. She's been with them for 33 years. My point is, organizing peace will pull off programs that serve people. Not a bunch of ballyhooing and talking, et cetera, and so on, but real programs that organize people. Political education that taught brothers how to think and not what to think. We didn't deal with racist remarks. We didn't deal with running around, we hate the Jews, kill all the white folks. And my new Black Panthers, when they started out back down in Dallas, Texas, I mean, it was back here, what was it, 92, 93? They got an argument with some Chicano brothers and sisters. I remember Mexican-American brothers and sisters in Southern and Dallas, Texas, or a large population, fighting and beating up. That's not coalition politics. We invited the new Black Panthers down to our last reunion down there. They took my head off of my picture and put Brother Khalid Muhammad's head on top of my picture. On the internet. Said, what is wrong with you brothers? But anyway, my point is, they make movies, they don't know. We're trying to make movies and films. I have at least 3 films I'm trying to do, and they are going to try to do my life story first. We almost had a Warner Brothers production that we would have a lot of control over, John Singleton being the director, but it fell apart because of Melvin Van Peebles' Panther movie. Now, the Panther movie is a slick, smooth story, but 90% of what you see on the screen is a bunch of fiction. So our books and stuff that we put out, this Black Panther Party reconsidered, because a lot of Black Panther Party members anthologically contributed to this particular work. Dr. Charles E. Jones out of Georgia State University was the one who helped put it together, so we have this book too. And I'm just saying, it's a lot of history, it's a lot of reading, it's a lot of research. When I came about, it was about knowing that. We were avid readers and researchers in those early days and in those Black Panther Party days. Yes, we incorporated the Red Book, the tipped off to Chairman Mao Zedong and all that stuff. But still and all, we were creative enough to come up with new and what we considered to be better, very humanistic, ideological directions that would make human sense. Yes, 29 of us died, and 69 of us were wounded, 14 policemen were killed, and 38 wounded. I still have 10 political prisoners. We've been trying to work with our special committee to get as many of them out of jail as possible. And those shootouts and battles with those policemen is dead. The racism continues, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of things that did change. And that doesn't mean, I mean, I'm 60-some-odd years old. I'm going to die soon. Fine, you know what I mean? But my kids are going to carry on, and other young people are going to have to be creative. Which is continuing human liberation struggle. What is it about? It's about the present to future. It's about a future world, cooperational humanism. It's not about revenge politics. It is not about hate politics. It is about tenacity and not taking no crap from a bunch of avaricious racists and others. Power from people. Thank you very much.